Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is another edition of Slow Your Roll. I am Dominic Lorenzano alongside writer for the Yaki Way Report, Jesse Caulfield.
Made it.
Baseball starts back up in, I don't know what, like 8 hours?
Is there not a Cubs Day game?
Maybe they're... No, they're playing the Sox.
But they're in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They are in Chicago. Whew. Oh, wait,
no,
a minute. So
it's 8:05.
Ah, I told you it was a night game.
In Chicago.
I know, right?
They don't have lights there. They were all stolen.
So the first game is at 6:05. So, yeah.
Yes.
We're
yes.
So, yeah, we're about 8 hours away from the start here. You know, we talked about that. Now it's going to be trade deadline. We're going to talk some teams that are on the bubble. Should they buy? Should they sell? Got some NBA talk. Dame Lillard, you know, we were kind of, you know, on his side last week.
And he ruined it.
He kind of ruined it literally like 12 hours later. Yeah, we'll talk some football as well. D-Hop, Hook, and Dalvin Cook not necessarily getting the offers they want. And the Giants and Barkley are at a standstill right now. So, you know, those holdouts for running backs, they always work out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They'd never go wrong. But anyway, with that, I will turn it over to Yaki Way Report writer Jesse Caulfield to get us started. Take it away, Jesse.
Thank you. I want to record this, but this yellow light here is killing me. There's nothing I can really do about it. So we're just going to have to accept the white light as opposed to the yellow light.
Yeah, that's what you're going to have to do.
Settle. All right. So, I mean, one of the greatest sporting events of our time happened the other day. The MLB All-Star Game. I tried to release an article like alongside this, but God forbid my editor do his job. Anyway, so MLB All-Star Game. I wrote an article. Maybe it'll be up by the time this is out. I'll share it and whatnot. We put it on the website and whatnot about the All-Star Game and how a lot of people, especially nowadays, people don't really care. Mm-hmm. The accolade is very nice for the player. And that's really all that really matters nowadays when it comes to it. Mm-hmm. But the MLB All-Star Game, it just hits a little different.
Yes.
And it's baseball is the only big sport going on in the middle of the summer. So any sporting event, people are like, sure, why not? But at the same time, we're not like, sure, why not? Because it's still the MLB All-Star Game. And unlike the other All-Star Games, people actually care, despite the fact that it's the only thing to watch in the first place. But like, if you look at, the Pro Bowl is the other way going. Despite the fact that the NFL is the biggest product in terms of, like, media in America, no one gives a damn about the Pro Bowl. And it's kind of funny because, like, they have their little skills competition they tried to do. No one cares. It's come to two-hand touch to the fact that they've literally accepted the fact that this is a joke. It's literally a running gag online. They're like, well, no one watches that. Like, did anyone see that? What was the final score? No one knows. Mm-hmm. And yet, the NFL makes a boatload of cash. It's kind of odd. You have the NHL All-Star Game, which used to be a big pull. Used to be huge fun. East versus West, all that stuff. It was actually somewhat physical because, for some reason, in the 90s, everyone was all mad at everybody. And the skills competition was actually a huge pull. The skills competition for that might even be more, was more popular than the actual All-Star Game itself because... I don't know, just the display that hockey players could do with the hardest shot, breakaway challenge, just these little other things they would do. It was really special. It was really fun to watch. They then kind of ruined that with going way over the top, being like, all right, now we're going to make, it's a 200 foot from end to end on the rink. Now we're going to take our players, we're going to put them outside, and they're going to make 500 foot passes. It's like, that doesn't apply. When is that going to matter on the ice? Mm-hmm. You're going to have them launch a pass about a football field length? Like, no. Like, they just do all this stupid stuff for the skills competition now. They ruin that. They have three games, all-star games, in one day for the NHL now. They do it by division. So the two Western Conference teams will play each other. Two Eastern Conference teams. And then the winner plays. It's bad. It's stupid.
That's really dumb.
They had a decent one. I want to say 5 to 10 years, not even 10 years, 5 years ago, where they would have, like, they did that thing where it's like, all right, no one really cares about East and West. Mm-hmm. Let's pick two captains, and they pick amongst the All-Stars. They pick their teams, and it's kind of fun because you actually get to watch them, like, pick teams. And it was actually kind of interesting because you have a bunch of personalities and whatnot. The NBA tried to adopt that, the whole, like, oh, let's pick our our all-star teams, because who actually cares? East versus West doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. And that made it interesting. And they're like, that's too interesting. Let's get rid of that. Mm. Then you have the NBA all-star game, which literally no one could give a damn about. Mm-hmm. No one has cared about the three-point contest since Larry Bird retired. Mm-hmm. The dunk contest died in, like, 06. Mm-hmm. So that leaves the MLB all-star game. Why does it endure? I guess in the summer is only one thing to watch. But also, like, I mean, the home run derby is just a spectacle. There's fan interaction, so obviously there's a reason to go. But even on watch TV, what's the point of watch TV? It's because it's so exciting. Because home runs are so very exciting. And when you, for some reason, you string a bunch in a row in 2 minutes, it's like, oh, so gosh darn incredible.
Well, also, it's because it's softball pitching type, so you can just see just how far they can launch some of these.
Sure, and we know they load those balls up so they can just go that a little extra further. And, you know, there was, I mean, you know, part of it was the steroids, and also people, there was just some big boys in the early 2000s up to 2010, with, like, you know, Prince Fielder, Ryan Howard. Those 500-foot shots. Mm-hmm. That were just way out of the stadium and stuff like that. It's just so fun to watch. It really is. And, I mean, I know the guys were smaller. The home runs weren't quite as far. But Julio Rodriguez set a record for 41 home runs in a round the other day. Mm. Very exciting. Also, MLB revamped it a couple years ago. It used to be 10 outs. Mm. That got not so exciting, taking a lot of pitches and stuff like that. Now it's a time limit. Everyone's just swinging away and just hit as many as you can, everywhere it goes. But then, like, the All-Star game itself, it's not the most exciting thing. It's usually a pitching duel. I predicted it 3-2. I mean, I said maybe 2-1, 3-2. It's never getting to 5 runs anymore. But it's still very exciting. It's just because you get to watch the best of the best. And literally everyone is just elite at everything they do. Every pitcher is rearing back for 101 miles an hour. The fielding is usually top-notch as expected. And because of how good the hitters are, if they make contact, it'll usually go somewhere. If there's a play in the field, it has to be spectacular just because of everyone playing. And again, if the batter makes any contact whatsoever, it's 110-mile-an-hour fastball. If he just hits it, it's going to go another 500 feet. Mm-hmm. So just anything that happens is spectacular, it's exciting, and it's just so fun to watch. But then you compare that to hockey or football, which are very physical games, and you don't want to get hurt in an All-Star. I mean, I certainly get that. I don't need the NFL players dogging out and hurting each other for the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
It's just, who cares? So that's going to take a step back. But in baseball, you don't have to do that.
No.
We can still run as hard as we want. We can still throw as hard as we want. You know, pitches maybe should take a little step back. But when it's only an inning, I'm throwing 15 pitches. Screw it. I'm throwing as hard as I ever thought of I ever could.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's just a spectacular – it's an event.
They do it at a different ballpark every year, which, by the way, far more than any other sport, right? The difference in where each team plays is far more drastic in baseball than any other.
Yeah, because
there's a reason that people are like, oh, we got to visit all the ballparks, because they are just so different and unique.
Yeah. You
know what I mean? Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, a football field, like, it's a football field.
Yeah, and they try to do things with, like, oh, make the stadium.
Yeah, from the outside or something. But at the end of the day, it's a football field.
Yeah, and it, like, mostly the things that make like the football. What's the word I'm looking for? Experience. Mm-hmm. The football experience of each stadium unique is kind of like the food.
Mm-hmm.
How run down the stadium is. Oh, this is an older stadium. It's run down now. But, like, you know, you get those new brand spanking new ones in LA that are like, oh my God. Like, yeah. Wow, this has got a kind of like a museum in the stadium. And it's like, all right, I get that stuff. But, like, with the MLB, the field is unique.
Yes.
Which means the play can be unique. And how some fields are geared to pitchers, some fields are geared to more hitters and stuff like that. So you're going to get something different for almost every field.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, you know, baseball fields can be very gimmicky.
Yes.
We've been to Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. They got a fake steamboat in center field. It's right It's right next to the river.
Mm-hmm.
So they play up that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just do a lot more in MLB parks. Yeah. So I do get that. And yeah, like, I would love to go to an All-Star game in my time.
Oh, yeah. I would love that.
Or a home run derby.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, I was watching just because, like, you know, the home run derby.
Fenway's not big enough to have an All-Star game anymore.
They add a couple hundred seats, like, every year, and then raise the price of the tickets because of it. Well, like, I was watching some highlights, you know, home run derby. I was like, oh, I'll watch some older home run derby highlights. Saw some at Fenway.
Oh, when everyone's on Lansdowne Street.
Oh my God, yeah, dude.
It's literally shoulder to shoulder on Lansdowne Street like it's a rock concert.
Literally. There is no room for anything on that street. Incredible.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And yeah, I mean, it's just, it's such a fun time. Midsummer classic. Mm-hmm. It's that halfway point of the year. So there's just a lot of excitement about like the trade deadlines around the corner. The real baseball starting to be played. Who's the real contenders? Who can fall off? Who's going to be the sellers? Mm-hmm. It's a great time, and it really hypes you up for baseball even more. Yeah. Unlike other sports that kind of just like especially NBA and NHL. Oh, the All-Star weekend is like, great. I get a break from NHL and NBA. I can go do something else.
Exactly.
But the MLB, it's not like that.
No, not at all.
I need to take time out to watch this.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm supposed to add. I mean, I don't think a lot of people would disagree with you either. I think everyone kind of knows baseball's the best of the All-Star games. Yeah. Even people who don't like baseball, like, oh, I'm an NBA fan. But like, do you watch the All-Star game? Like,
Bro, people...
okay, so that's a no. You don't.
People will just watch the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, I know.
Like... It's just the most spectacular display of a skills competition. Like, yeah. You could make an argument, hockey players are probably more athletic, and what they do in the skills competition is very impressive. But, like, hitting a baseball 500 feet, like, I don't care how good you're. Oh, I have great hand-eye. I can hit a baseball. Yes, I can take the bat, and I can hit the ball. But can I hit it 500 feet? There's only, like, a couple human beings on Earth that can do that.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
And they're all Hispanic.
With that, we are going to move on real quick, rapid fire news. So, in the news, so Kristaps Porzingis, the Celtics, after making the trade, have also gave him a 2-year, $60 million extension to, you know, shore up their asset that they just traded for. So, are you surprised by how mad Celtics fans are about this? I thought we hated Marcus Smart. Now all of a sudden, I'm hearing so many fans so mad about this.
I said that last week. I said, like, after every single loss, regular season or otherwise, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are crucified. They're worthless. They need to be off this team. But you trade Marcus Smart for, I mean, I'm not going to pretend I know where this guy ranks in the NBA, current NBA players.
Listen, he's a big who can score.
But he's a name I knew.
He's a big who can score. So,
but suddenly we are so loyal
to Marcus Smart for some reason.
Yes,
I didn't understand it. Anyway, also in other news, obviously the All-Star game happened, and what feels like for the first time in forever, the National League won.
Yes, I think I swear to God, I've only seen the National League win like four times in my life.
Yeah,
and I'm 27.
It has not been very often. They won it 3-2, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll get into that one yet. But Damon, both of these are both topics we're going to talk about anyway. But, oh, actually, you know, there was another round of some suspensions in the NFL for betting. There was one big doozy, one of the funnier ones, and I'm not even going to spoil the name, but a lot of people probably know, for betting on his own team while in the building. Mm. So the NFL's got a major problem on their hands for the next year or two. Now, yeah. I'm guessing they kind of knew this was going to happen, and that's why they're going to be this strict about it, because you got to nip this in the bud. But, oh my goodness, it's funny.
Sports betting, man. People can't escape it right now.
I know. It's crazy. Also, Damian Lillard. I don't know if he's actually said this himself, or it's just leaked out from people in his camp, that he won't accept a trade to anywhere else except Miami.
I mean, we'll get into it, but it's basically like his agent is,
yeah,
basically has said it.
And also, as it takes us into the next one, Saquon Barkley and the Giants are still nowhere close on their contract talks, and it seems at this point as if Barkley's availability will be in question for week one. So that is where we will go to our next segment, which is Saquon Barkley and the Giants. Now, we have made fun of running backs in the past who want big contracts and hold out. I'm not saying Saquon is any different, because he's not. He shouldn't be doing this. He's a running back. He shouldn't get paid that much money. However, I will give Saquon Barkley this. This is on the Giants a little bit. You had Saquon and Daniel Jones both ready that you needed to make and negotiate a contract with. Now, I get one's a quarterback and one's not. But one is clearly the better player, and one is clearly probably more important to your offense, at least with the way they did things last year. They should have negotiated with Barkley first, because the minute you paid Daniel Jones $40-something million, what you're saying to Saquon now, if I'm Saquon, if I'm his agent, I'm going, he threw 15 touchdown passes. I'm more important to this offense than Daniel Jones. So if you're going to pay him at that high of a market price, then you should pay me top dollar at what I do. Now, the Giants shouldn't pay him top dollar. He's had injury history. He's a running back. But this is on the Giants, in my opinion. I think if they had done it with Saquon first, they probably could have avoided some of this and not paid as much money. And then obviously the other thing that's the Giants' fault is they overpaid Daniel Jones. Everyone came out afterwards. The Giants were negotiating against themselves on that one. No one, even if he hit the open market, was offering Daniel Jones $40-something million. He threw 15 touchdown passes. Like, I know quarterbacks are overpaid. No one was paying Daniel 40-something. Maybe he would have gotten 30. I don't think he even would have got that. I think he would have been mid-20s. So I don't agree with Saquon. If Saquon holds out, I don't think it's going to go well for him, because it never does historically with running backs anymore. But I'm a little understand where Saquon's coming from on this one than other running backs in the past. And the Giants really only have themselves to blame, in my opinion, for this mess.
Do you know where the numbers are?
For what?
Like the like his contract?
Saquon's?
Yeah, like what he might get on average.
No, what is it?
What do you think? Did you hear any rumors?
I heard
I have one, and it's
I heard Saquon was asking for like 20 something.
Oh, okay.
A year.
Well, I heard it first, because when I was reading an article last night, the rumor was at first that Saquon was asking for like 14. That was Saquon's like original, like, I want that. But that was probably, I mean, almost definitely not true based on this next one. Because apparently the Giants' best offer was 19 and a half.
That's wild.
That was from the New York Post. And I'll actually, by the way, it was 19 and a half guaranteed, which means what the actual whole number was, I don't know.
Not for how many years, though. They don't have that on there.
No, I just had numbers. Okay. Like figures.
There's no way they were offering him 19 and a half per year for multiple years.
That's what the New York Post said.
For multiple years. Now, was it 19 and a half in total, though, or was it 19 and a half per year?
Guaranteed, which means there was more money out there that was not guaranteed.
Wow. I mean, listen, if it's a 3-year contract, that's not that much per year, even if it is fully guaranteed. But maybe. If we're talking 1 or 2 years, that's a lot of money to just guarantee to a running back.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, let's say it's a 2-year contract, $19.5 million per year. That's like $9 million a year? $9.5 million?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's outrageous. I wouldn't pay him that, but I don't think that's outrageous. But like I said, the problem is when you overly, when you paid Daniel as much as you did, what you're saying to Saquon now, at least from Saquon's perspective, is, well, I better get paid a lot too, because I'm more important than him. At least I was last year.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he knows his career is probably not that much longer, at least not at a high level. Mm-hmm. So I get him being like, well, I want to shore myself up for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So I get that, but to be honest, I wouldn't even want to play for the Giants. Especially after the
Daniels.
But
don't you think that's part of this, though? In a way? Not like he's trying to force himself out. But listen, if you're going to
But if I'm going to be here, make it worth my while.
Yeah, exactly, right? We'll talk about what Travis Kelce comments were. Like, he knows he could if he wanted to do the Tyreek Hill thing, he could have, and he could have made more money. But why would I do that when I'll get attention, fame, and obviously money off the field playing with Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Kansas City? But if you're Saquon, don't you think you're thinking maybe, well, you overpaid Daniel. That's probably going to make our team worse in the next coming years. So if I'm going to play here, I'm not going to take a discount. And if you're going to egregiously overpay the quarterback, well, you should egregiously overpay me because I've been the better player.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, usually we out here roasting running backs for this kind of stuff. We've roasted Le'Veon Bell about that.
I still think he would be an idiot to not play.
He might be. But I kind of, other than Moore, I understand where Saquon's coming from on this one.
A little bit.
I mean, if he doesn't play or misses some time, he's going to have to play on the franchise tag, be shown as a fraud because he missed time, and then he's not going to get any money.
Probably.
I mean, he'll get paid somewhere with something, but like it'll be like what Le'Veon is like, wow, I'm making not nearly what I would have if I just played.
True. Do you think, see, like Pittsburgh is a high-level organization, despite what...
With high-level dysfunction.
They have some dysfunction, but with what Patriots fans... I mean, they kind of don't. The listen, minute they've gotten A.B., Bell, and Big Ben it's not that bad.
Listen, they've had high-level dysfunction for a long time. They've just dealt with it very well.
Yeah. But they're like, you weren't going to... You're not going to bully the Steelers into doing what you want. You don't think Saquon could bully the Giants into them just throwing their hands up, like, all right, I guess we got to trade him, at least. Whereas the Steelers just sat there with a smile on their face and looked at Le'Veon and was like, you want to play this game? Like, we're not getting you out of here.
I mean, maybe because of this new GM that the Giants have.
Yeah, who gave Daniel $40-something million?
If it was that last guy.
Gettleman?
Just draft the best player available, regardless of need. That guy? That guy wouldn't put up with this.
Probably not. Not that Gettleman was a good GM. But listen, if you're GM...
Oh, that's not the point I'm making. He'll just be, you know, veteran status. He'll just be more stern about it.
Yeah, no, I understand. But if you're going to overpay Daniel, I don't know. It makes me think your organization probably doesn't have that much of a backbone. And therefore, I could see Barkley cowering them into eventually trading him.
This franchise has also been a joke for a decade.
Yeah, they don't get enough credit for how bad they are. They don't. Because we just, the Giants are well run. Oh, we know the names of who their owners are. They won two Super Bowls with Tom Coughlin. But before Coughlin, they weren't good. And post Coughlin, they haven't been good. So.
I don't think people really call them out for a terribly run franchise because generally.
Well, also because they're in New York, so we all just laugh at the Jets.
I guess. And it is a bad product, but it's not usually. Like, the franchise isn't terribly run. There's no real controversy that comes out of there.
Listen, they're not the Commanders. I understand that, but football wise, they are not smart.
No, they're too loyal. It also seems.
Yeah.
At least they used to be. I don't know what they are now. You could probably still make
$40 million to Daniel Jones.
Still make that case, but also it's like they just had their first good season in a decade. I'm not surprised there's overreaction here. Oh, we got to keep Daniel Jones. People love Daniel Jones. Oh, Barkley, we got to keep him, and whoever else.
That's kind of it.
They brought in Waller.
I know. I saw that, which I actually think is a good move. But
sure. Yeah. That'll help Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. If he can stay healthy.
He'll go from 15 touchdowns to 18.
But it's also if Waller can play more than three games.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
But we'll see. Mm. I mean, yeah, no, I like it if he's healthy. But
how do you think the Saquon thing ends? Do you think he just plays week one and the Giants cower and do a deal? Do you think he's going to hold out? If he does, do you think they're going to trade him?
I think he'll hold out based and not go anywhere.
Okay. I disagree. I can't see him just holding out and have this be a Le'Veon Bell situation. I don't think the Giants have the cojones for that. I think if he's refusing to play for them, they'll trade him.
And
at the end of the day, I don't think this is going to go to the season. I think at some point they get a deal done. When I see you pay Daniel $40-something million, it makes me think you don't really know what to do with your money anyway. You're overly loyal, and you're overly focused on this season just because two guys got you to, what, 8 or 9 wins and one playoff win? So I think they're going to pay Barkley eventually.
They can't have much money left, can they?
Ah, you can always figure it out and then just pay the price next year or the year after.
Yeah, but, like, if you're Barkley, I mean, I don't know what Daniel Jones, I don't know if it's front-loaded or back-loaded. I think it's pretty front-loaded.
It is front-loaded.
So, like, you figured, like, all right, if we're going to actually sign Barkley for what he wants, you got to back-load it. But, like, I don't know if I want to do that if I'm Barkley.
No.
My knees are going to give out.
Yeah.
Soon. Like, and I get it. Like, all right, you get the guaranteed money no matter what, but you want to play. You want to get incentives. You want to get bonuses and whatnot.
No, I know. But so do you think he goes to hold out?
Yes, and I don't think they're going to trade him.
You don't think they're going to trade him?
No.
So do you think it goes?
Who would take him? Obviously, there's someone that, like, I'll take that for.
Someone will totally take
him. I'll take that, blah, blah, blah. But, like, there's not a huge market for it right now.
There's not a huge market for anyone right now because we haven't gone to training camp yet. Everyone's still healthy. Everyone's still healthy, and this is the time of year where everyone's like holding hands and singing Kumbaya. Oh, you know our picks last year, they're going to take that next step. They'll be ready to contribute a lot next year. We love what we did in the draft, you know. We're just this is that moment in the NFL. Once you get to week 2 or 3 in training camp, sometimes you realize, "Oh crap, our pick last year didn't take the step that we hoped." Oh, you know, our third round pick we thought might be able to contribute. Yeah, he's not going to be an NFL player. And then obviously injuries eventually too. So that's the other reason. We'll talk about that with Cook and D-Hop. I don't think it's over for them to get the money they want. It's just right now is not the time. Because like I said, everyone spent most of the money that they felt like they were going to spend in free agency. And everyone's singing Kumbaya and having a good time right now.
Okay. I mean, not in the Patriots. That's not how they run things.
I mean, I don't think Bill has ever sung Kumbaya and been happy about anything. But.
Well, I just make the point of, like, Bill seems to be that coach of, like, all right, training camp starting. I'm going to make sure everyone hates each other. No, Bill's like that guy. He likes the fights in training camp and stuff like that.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Fires people up. And like, well, I mean, you've heard that report. I don't know when this was, but there was – I think it was the 2001 season, like literally that first Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fight at training camp and whatnot. And Bill's just watching, not breaking it up, smiling like, yeah.
Oh, I think I remember that.
Yeah, this is what I wanted. Just to fire them up and, like, you know, maybe see who's got a problem with who, who's got the passion, who doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
No, I get you.
Or some crazy secret Bill thing he's figuring out by, like, who can actually fight.
Hello. But, so, you don't think they trade him. You think he holds out. Do you think he eventually caves and then goes and plays, or do you think he just doesn't play this year for the Giants at all?
I mean, if he's any – I mean, his agent is also got to be – if he's also smart, he'd be like, listen, dude, we can fake this holdout thing. Let's even maybe miss week one.
Mm.
But, like, listen, if you want any cash in the future, like, you need to play this year. At some point, you need to play this year.
Do me a favor. Wait. Can you look up the Giants' schedule? I want to see – do they have a really tough, like, first, you know, month in the end? Because what if they do? What if Saquon's sitting there for the first 4 weeks and the Giants are 0-4 because then the season's almost lost. But what if they're 1-3 and you made the playoffs last year and you just played Daniel Jones all this money and your fans think that you're going back to the playoffs? You know?
It's kind of hit and miss.
Okay.
So
give me the first 5 weeks.
Home against the Cowboys.
Loss. Oh, no, they're at home?
Yeah.
No, still lost, but.
It seems to be. It's either primetime or Sunday night.
Okay.
Of some point. In Arizona.
Oh, that's a win.
In San Francisco.
Loss.
Home against the Seahawks.
Loss, potentially.
In Miami.
Loss.
In Buffalo.
Loss.
That was actually the first six.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think maybe they win two games. So if it's 6 weeks in, they've only won two games, and you overpaid Daniel, and they think they're making the playoffs again, and the fan base is mad, and they're out for blood, I don't know. Maybe Barkley can be like, you want to talk?
They got it. Of those 6 weeks, four are prime time. I mean, you know, they can get bumped, but.
That's all the better for Saquon.
Maybe.
You're losing a bunch of games in prime time, too?
Maybe.
Daniel can't throw the ball down the field and put up points? Your running game's lackluster?
I'm trying to do math.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Someone should send this show to Saquon's agent.
Okay, one of those, the 49ers one is a Thursday night, too.
Dude, I have no confidence in the Giants making the right decisions. I could totally see them cave.
Here's actually one of the things about that Seahawks one. Mm-hmm. So you got the Thursday night game against the 49ers the week prior.
Yeah.
In San Francisco, so you definitely lost. Thursday night in away, yeah, sure. But then you got over a week to prepare for the Seahawks.
Well,
at home.
Well, that's what I said. So we had two that we said were on the bubble. What I ended up doing is giving one of them a win and one of them a loss. Because we were like, about the Cowboys one. We're like, about Seattle. So let's just say they split it.
I mean, the Dolphins one's not.
No, they are not going into Miami and beating the Dolphins.
Why? Tua might be dead by then.
I mean, their backup is Mike White. That's not terrible. It's functional.
I guess.
I think Vic Fangio would toy with Daniel Jones.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But like if Barkley.
I don't see it, dude.
You don't think Dable can help him?
I'm sure he can help. He got him to the playoffs. He clearly helped.
And it's like, did anyone mess with Daniel Jones last year? Everything was safe.
Yeah. But how are you? Can you be that safe when you don't have Saquon?
You should probably be more safe.
But then you're not going to score points at all. The thing was, is they had Saquon at least break off some big plays, some big runs, take a dump pass, and then all of a sudden take it for 13, 14.
Yeah, but if your line's half decent, anyone can do that. How do you like their line?
It's average. No.
Daniel Jones can break off some
runs. I'll tell you right now, if Saquon's not on the team, they're not scoring a lot of points.
They didn't anyway.
No, I know. So it's going to be even worse.
They won games like 2017 anyway.
I know.
Damn, 2017. What a time.
All right. With that,
Win a championship that year in any sport? No, baseball was 2018.
Yeah, baseball was 2018. That was like my favorite Sox team ever. All right.
I think we did win a Super Bowl that year.
Did we?
February 2017. That was Falcons.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Losers.
Anyway. With that, ready to move on. Jesse, take it away before we go to the break on this one.
Sure. I got the video too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, literally last week, we're like, oh, man, he's not controversial. He's not dramatic. He's not making a big deal about it. He's been relatively quiet, not making a huge deal. Like, yeah, I don't really want to be a Portland Trail Blazer, but I'm not going to say I want to leave. And then finally he's like, all right, I want to leave. All right, it's time. And then...
He ruined it.
He just is like, I'm damn right I'm an NBA player. Watch this. And again, I don't think he specifically said anything, but the report is his agent is calling teams saying, don't bother trading for him. If you do, he just won't show up. And it's like, if you're an agent, you know, obviously, I want him to go here. He'll make the most money there. He has a chance to win here. And then, sure, I'd want to go to Miami, play with Butler. It's Florida. The weather is nice.
Bang out of Bayou. They literally were just in the championship.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons to want to go there. I mean, the East is generally just more talked about and looked at than the West. Mm-hmm. East Coast living. No income tax. Mm-hmm. In-state income tax in Florida. A lot of reasons to go there. I mean, people just like and watch the Miami Heat.
Yes.
It's been like that way for a little while. So I get wanting to go there and having a favorite, being like, hey, Miami, like, you should push hard for this. Mm-hmm. But when you start calling other teams to be like, listen, don't bother. This is Miami's. This is only for Miami. It's like, screw you. I have no respect for that. It's like, you can go anywhere. You are Damian Lillard. You're very talented. You'll ball anywhere. You won't win anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you probably need a guy, another guy, another teammate, maybe two. But, like, you'll go, you'll make your money, you'll have your fame. Like, why not just pick anywhere? New York. You'll get famous there. Certainly more than Portland. Well, California, anywhere, even the Kings.
Well, he wants to win. But it's just, like, to only pick one team? Come on, dude.
The Celtics could win.
And that's what I mean.
Even the Nets made the playoffs last year. They're not actually that far from it. Especially once they got rid of the toxicity. Mm-hmm. The Suns could win. Mm. The Nuggets actually just won.
Yes.
The Knicks are on the up and up, and everyone watches them, and people would bow down to you as a Knick.
I know.
Like, there's actually a lot of incentive to go anywhere else. The Lakers think they can do it. 76ers ain't far. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Joel Embiid would love a friend that isn't James Harden or... That other one that just doesn't play. Can't remember his name.
Oh, he's gone anyway.
No, I know.
Ben Simmons.
It's just because Joel Embiid he's had some bad teammates.
Yeah, he has.
Heck, the Dallas Mavericks would take you. There's just so many places to go that you can win. Again, I get it. Jimmy Butler, Florida, the Miami Heat. It's sexy. It sounds great. Mm-hmm. But I have no respect for this bitch. Like, I won't play for anyone or anything.
Yeah.
Like, Shut up. Make your money, get your fame, shoot the ball in the hoop, and shut up.
And get some wins, too. I don't have a problem with him saying no to some teams and being like, I want to win. But well, to sit there, well, to go, but wait, to go from I want to win a championship in Portland to then I'll only play for the team that just made the NBA Finals. Like, come on, Dame.
No, all that's fine. Oh, I want to win. Look, I respect that. But at the same time, there is no team in the NBA I can think of right now that's trying to rebuild, that isn't a contender, that would trade for him anyway right now.
Probably
that's
not.
That's not the business you're going to go for. You're going to go for the draft, young people, stuff like that. Damian Lillard is not the man that's going to turn your franchise around.
I mean, the Mavs think they can win, but if they ever made a trade for Dame Lillard, if I was Lillard, I'd say no.
I mean, they could if they got rid of Kyrie.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go play for the Mavericks.
Because of Kyrie?
Well, first off, they can't trade Kyrie now because of the contract they gave him. Remember?
I mean, you could.
No, you couldn't.
Figure it out.
No, you can't figure it out. No one's. They were kind of laughed at for giving him that money.
You can buy it out, can't you? Is that a thing in the NBA?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
Okay, I know we just gave this to you.
There are some that I would still say no to. Even some teams who made the playoffs, I'd say no to. But to sit here and then be like, I will only play for one team in the entire NBA. And if anyone else tries to make a move and lands me, I'm just not going to show up for work.
Yeah.
Like, that is so prima donna.
Can you imagine? You're working somewhere. It's like, hey, we're about to transfer you to, like, it's not even the high level. We're not going to transfer you across country. We're like, we're going to transfer you to another branch of the company. Mm-hmm. It's just your, you know. Heck, it's even a shorter ride to your house even. It's like, I'm just not showing up. You transfer me to this branch or I'm not showing up. You're fired.
I know. It's crazy. I was pro Dame Lillard. I was a fan of Dame Lillard for a little while. I was even more a fan of him after he finally was like, you know what? Portland's trying to move on. I want to finally win. I've given everything I can to Portland. I was like, you know what, Dame? Good for you. And in like 24 hours, it ruined it. Like, and it turns out he's just another NBA player.
Like, don't forget, I play basketball.
Yeah, right? I'm in the NBA. You thought I was normal? You thought I was a down-to-earth guy? Oh, watch this.
Is there like a true superstar in the NBA that's...
Giannis. And Steph. Guess.
Okay, yeah.
And Steph.
All right, sure.
Yeah.
Steph is. Yes. Like I could see Giannis even in the next couple of years probably maybe being like, all right, I've had it with this place.
Yeah, but if he did that, I would get it because I'd be like, dude.
If that's all it was?
Giannis has never tried to play that game of like, oh, maybe I could. He's never done that. He's done is give the Bucks nothing but 100% assurance that like, no matter what we do, we'll have Giannis here. So like... I would get that in another 3-4 years. They still can't get over the hump. They haven't gotten him the correct help, and it's still all on his shoulders all the time. I could see Giannis finally be like, you know what? I've given you guys everything I've could. I've never been dramatic about this. I've never even floated the idea out there for a second that I could leave, and you haven't done right by me.
I mean, I think, you know, after this past—
I can't see Giannis then going, I'll only go to the Miami Heat.
I'll only go to the Spurs or something.
Yeah.
I need to play with Wemby or something.
Yeah, I can't see Giannis doing that.
Heck, go to the Spurs, Damian. No. I know it's the up and up right now, but they have their future man, apparently.
Yeah, they're
you
also—
You can teach him.
They also already shut him down for the summer league. Like, the Spurs are telling you that they're going to take this slow. So, no.
I think he's going to be a bust.
Nah, he's not going to be a bust.
He'll— Why not?
He's like, not going to be a bust.
I just kind of look at him, I'm like, you're like too hype.
It's also the body type and the size is kind of concerning, but he's 18. Like, he'll grow.
I guess.
He'll put some size on. And like I said, the Spurs are going to make sure that he stays healthy. Like, he's a 7-foot, 18-year-old kid. Like, he shouldn't be playing 70 games a season. And he doesn't need to play the whole summer league. Like, it wouldn't shock me if the Spurs are like, listen, we know we're going to suck still. Like, hey, Wemby, your first year, you're playing 45, 50 games. That's it. Which I think that'd be correct. But, All right, with that, we are going to take a break when we get back. We're going to talk, I think, the Kelsey comments that were interesting, and then we'll go into some baseball talk, some teams on the bubble, who should buy, who should sell. So stick with us, guys. And we are back here at Slow Your Roll. Before we get into some of the baseball talk, I want to talk about this real quick because, I mean, listen, Travis Kelce can annoy me. He certainly can. But these comments that
he's grown on me, though.
Yeah, these comments he made the last couple of, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago now, though, I thought were just so self-aware. And I get so mad. Not even mad. I get disappointed sometimes because it's plenty of times it's athletes I like who were sitting here come contract time. And I'm like, do you understand how the NFL works? Like, this isn't baseball where like Shohei and Trout never make the playoffs, but nobody blames them. We understand what the sport's like. If you're individually great, you're just individually great. That's fine. No one's, oh, they don't win. You need 5 starters. You need a bullpen. You need depth because someone's going to get hurt at some point. I mean, the Padres have 3-4 superstars, but they can't score runs because the other 5 in the lineup, 6 in the lineup suck. So, like, we understand how that works. In the NFL, it's about winning, right? For the most part. If we're going to talk about you years later, early on, you know, you can be talented and do stuff. As your career goes on, we're like, oh, he's not winning enough. Oh, that's why. Why is it? He seems so good. Is there a problem? Is it this? Is it that? But in the NFL, like, you need the coach, you need the team, you need the culture, you need, you know, you need all these other things, even though we judge you on winning. And it's like, to get that stuff is so rare. When Dak demanded all the money in the world from Dallas, I was like, what is wrong with you, Dak? Like, you're in a great place. You're the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Like, there's not a better marketing tool than that. You could go get $20 million, you'll make just as much as Patrick, because you can get almost any national brand, you know, sponsorship deal you want, especially if you're winning games. What if Dak and the Cowboys had made a Super Bowl? Oh my! Like, not even win one, but what if they made a Super Bowl?
We'd never hear the end of it.
You'd never hear the end. Dak would be on every commercial for everything, from insurance to a pizza shop to a shoe, like everything. He already does great, and they're not even that good. So, when Travis came out and said, you know, for about half a second, I was envious of Tyreek and I thought I could do that. But then he realized and thought about it. He's like, but then I watched Tyreek, you know, barely make the playoffs and lose. And I'm sitting here winning another Super Bowl. I know every day I go into the building, I got the best quarterback in football and Andy Reid. And I'm going to get stats and I'm going to be talked about as one of the best of all time. Like, somebody gets it. Someone finally gets it. Like, no one can do it alone, especially if you're a wide receiver or a tight end. And you think that, oh, I just got the bag. I'm getting paid the most by my team in the NFL. So what? If you win games and you're in the playoffs all the time, you'll make more money off the field. And then what's also to say about legacy? What if Tyreek stayed in KC? What if Tyreek won 2 more Super Bowls? What if he won a Super Bowl MVP 1 year just because he was the one who caught 2 or 3 touchdown passes and they were like, we don't want to give it to Patrick for a 3rd or 4th time. Like, the legacy part of it too. How will you stay in everyone's mind? What if Tyreek doesn't go off again this year? What if Tua gets hurt? What if it's Mike White all year and Hill's just on the down? Is Hill going to remember that much, or are we going to remember Tyreek mostly because he won a Super Bowl with Mahomes and Kelce?
I mean, Mike White has a better arm than Tua.
Yeah, you could debate that. You could debate that. But, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know you don't like Kelce, and sometimes he annoys the crap out of me, too.
No, he's grown on me.
At least he gets it. Someone finally gets it.
Yeah. I mean, we've made that joke. I've referenced that meme so many times. It's like, oh, Tom Brady takes a pay cut. It's like, he's back in the Super Bowl. How does he do it?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not a secret. Mm-hmm. It's just that. And I do kind of get it a little bit in the NFL. Because, I mean, you're right. The NFL does put a lot of emphasis on winning championships, and that is a big part of your legacy, especially for certain positions like quarterback, generally offensively minded with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not everyone. Like, you know, when I think of Joe Thomas, I'm like, well, he never won a Super Bowl. Mm. Like, yeah, he is a lineman, though.
Yeah.
But I'm probably going to remember a guy's name who won more Super Bowls in time than guys who didn't, than guys who cashed giant checks.
Yeah.
And sure, like, you could make the argument that, like, all right, he could definitely make more money elsewhere and maybe even grow his brand elsewhere. Because, I mean, it's easier to grow your brand in New York, California, Texas, Florida. There's just so much there besides the game of football. And in being in Kansas City, it's like, all right, he's going to be famous among football fans and all that stuff. But, like, all right, he might not get the brands that'll attach to him just simply because he's in Missouri. Mm-hmm. I bet a lot of Americans can't quite point that out on a map if it's not labeled. Mm-hmm. So, but it's just that, like, all right, I want my name to be remembered. I want my name to be remembered here. I love winning so much. And you know what? When you come from winning, that is a lot easier to say. Mm-hmm. If he played on a team that was mediocre, like if he played on like the Texans or something, it's like, all right, I'm great. Everyone knows my name, which like I've argued that like people wouldn't really know his name if it wasn't for Patrick Mahomes. But let's ignore that. Let's assume he was a great player for a crappy team. Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe he wouldn't have that mindset of like, all right, let's just make my money and then I'll retire and be happy with that. But like, no, he got that taste of winning. He's like, bro, this is worth more than any amount of money you can give me. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy with this. And again, money can't buy happiness. Mm-hmm. And actually, I believe that. I really do. Because after a certain point, psychologically speaking, like it doesn't make you any happier. Mm-hmm. So why not just get the legacy? And like, all right, because if he truly sticks with that, even if he never wins another Super Bowl there, if he gets some injury problems, like, all right, his career quickly falls apart because that can happen in the blink of an eye in the NFL. Mm-hmm. His legacy in KC is set.
Oh,
his
yeah.
life in KC is set. Oh, he yeah. never has to buy another beer in that state again.
Yeah.
And he, like, you know, he's taken care of there.
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, I think this should be very controversial, I'm sure. But at the end of the day, at this point, I think Kelce's going to get remembered as the best tight end of all time.
And he shouldn't.
I know. I get that. But here's the point of it. I am not in any way saying that he is not wildly talented. He is amazing. He's great. Okay? Is he so much more talented than, like, Vernon Davis was in his day, but Travis Kelce got to play with Patrick Mahomes? Like, do you think there's a massive gap in talent?
No.
I don't think so either. I don't think so.
I literally just said, like, we probably wouldn't really know or care about him if it wasn't for Patrick Mahomes.
I think we would still know him because he is special enough that every year he'd be known as one of the best tight ends in football.
We would,
when his career was over, I don't think we'd be like, best tight end of all time.
No, we'd be talking about Mark Andrews and Kittle a lot more.
Exactly. Right?
Like, he would be, you know, third, fourth, popular.
Like, make no mistake about it. Tyreek Hill is going to get remembered because of when he played with Patrick Mahomes. Not for Miami. It's not going to happen.
Oh, if he wins there, they stumble into something, they'd be like, wow, look at that.
I guess. I highly doubt it, though. But, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
That's what it is. I don't think he's even that much more wildly talented than Vernon Davis was. But we don't remember Vernon Davis, really. We'll remember Travis Kelce. Because he got Andy Reid, Kansas City, multiple Super Bowls, all the stats, all the records, Patrick Mahomes. It matters.
He's not even a real tight end.
I know.
And he'll also be like the one to admit that. He's like, I can't block. I don't do any of that. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a glorified wide receiver here. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, one, he gets that. And two, like, that's why I can't quite. He's like, well, he's very good at catching the ball and running with it. Although he himself admitted, I don't even know what it was. He got like a little small award for something. It had nothing to do with the NFL. I mean, it has to do with the NFL, but like it wasn't presented from the NFL. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yo, I led the league in drops last year.
Wow.
He's like, all right, this is what I mean. Like, all right, you're growing on me here, sir.
Yeah.
Like you're humbling yourself. You're realizing it's not about money. It's about. He's not even saying it's about legacy. He's like, bro, I love winning that much. It's just so much fun.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. Yeah.
That's how the fans feel, man. That's how we just want
to
win.
That's kind of all that matters to us because, like, we're not getting paid.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess it's like, you know, I do enjoy just watching the spectacle of it.
Yeah.
But, like,
at the end of the day,
it really makes me sad more than it makes me happy, actually.
Yeah. Anyway, with that, moving on. We'll go to the buy-sell for teams, but let's talk about the big name, the big fish, potentially, if he's actually on the market. But Shohei Ohtani and the Angels. Now, what?
Nothing.
What?
This that could have been. I don't want to be that guy. That could have been racist. calling him the big fish.
Yeah, no, that's true. True.
He's a big fish fry.
Shut up.
He is the big sushi.
Anyway, so Shohei Ohtani. So I think it was a month ago the Angels GM came out and said, we're not trading him. And by the way, I understood it at the time because they were still within striking distance.
Lots happened.
And I kind of thought that the Angels weren't going to trade him because I was like, you know, if they're anywhere near the playoff race, you can't just trade Shohei. But everything's gone to like hell in a handbasket. I mean, Trout's out. Almost their entire lineup is out. They've lost 9 of the last 10.
Yeah.
They know they're not going to re-sign Ohtani. So I don't understand in what world as a GM I could sit here and be the Angels GM and think to myself, well, I've gotten massive years of attention and money, you know, in merchandise sales that I never would have got without Shohei. But yes, we never won anything, and now I'm about to lose him. There's no way I'm just going to let this guy go and not get something back for him. Because you're going to lose a lot when he leaves, right? A lot of money, a lot of merchandise, a lot of attention. Why don't you get a haul of people and try and actually build a baseball team that can win? I would debate trying to trade Trout, too. It's just he's hurt now. But I just don't understand as a GM for the Angels how you could sit here now losing 9 of the last 10. Like, you're not – come on, they're not making the playoffs. This is not happening. How can you let someone who's going to get, even as a rental, he can pitch and hit? Like most teams, you know, they have multiple things they need to address in the deadline. You probably, a lot of time, especially if you want to get a big name, there's a problem with your team you're not going to be able to address. I get Shohei, I get to address the middle of my lineup and my starting rotation. It's 2-for-1. So even if he's a rental, I'm sure you're going to get a haul back. Enough that like it's, you could start rebuilding your team and actually build a winner in the next 2 to 3 years. I just don't understand in what world that you can have an asset like Shohei that you know you're going to lose. You had all that free publicity, all that free merchandising that you got over the last couple of years without even having to win, that you can just let that go for nothing. I just don't get it.
Technically, I think you could just trade Trout anyway.
You probably could.
Because, I mean...
I don't... But the problem is you're going to trade an asset like that when you won't get as much back as you could have.
Well, I mean, it's just...
Just trade him next year.
I guess. I mean, isn't there a rule? I don't know if it's still...
Or
is.
In the offseason.
Like, you could wait... Like, you can put him on waivers after the deadline and trade him.
Okay.
I don't know if that's still a thing, though.
I think they got rid of that. I think... No, actually, I'm pretty sure they did get rid of that.
It was bizarre anyway.
Yeah, the other thing is, like, someone like
there's a trade deadline, but not really.
No, well, that mattered, though, because the thing was, is you could never put a name like that out there on the waiver market. Because what happened is the Red Sox did. Who?
Josh Beckett, Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, all traded at one time.
Oh, that's because they were owed so much money.
Yeah, that was the most expensive trade in MLB history.
Yeah, so here's how that works, right? Or did work because MLB doesn't do it anymore. So in order to be able to trade someone like that, you have to clear the waivers, which means not a single team in MLB
could put
a claim on him.
No, you could claim him and then they have first dibs.
Well, no. That's what I was going to say. So if a team tried to claim him, then no. It wasn't dibs as in you can work out a trade. The team puts in a claim. So then the team that put him on waivers either has to take him back or they just let that team have him. Yes, that's how. Yes, it did.
That's not how it works.
Yes, it did.
How did the Red Sox get a whole bunch of stuff?
Because no one put a claim in on those players. He cleared waivers, and then everyone can talk to the Sox.
The Dodgers claimed them all.
Is that how that worked?
They claimed them all, maybe it changed, but this is how it used to work.
Okay, no, you might
be
right.
The team could make the claim, but then only they could talk.
Yeah.
Now the Red Sox could have took it back and be like, no.
No, also, I thought if a team put a claim in, I thought the Sox could also just load him off on them. Like, oh, we won't even give you everything back, but now you owe his entire salary. You put a claim on him, we're not gonna
maybe that was an option, but
I think that was an option.
But they were like, we want pieces and stuff.
Well, yeah, so they could talk.
Yeah.
Okay, is that how that worked?
Yeah. I mean,
it was complicated. Listen,
I know it has changed in some ways because it used to be if you made a trade like that, they weren't allowed to play in the playoffs at all. So it's kind of like useless to do that if you're a
kid. I mean, listen, at this point, like I said, it's not even a thing anymore, so They got rid of it.
Maybe.
No, they did. Because they wanted to make sure that, like, they wanted the deadline to be more active and more exciting. Because we went through, like, a 3-year period where the deadline had been kind of a dud.
Hmm. It used to be very exciting.
I think it still is now. Last trade deadline was awesome. Last year.
I remember Soto. Actually, a lot of trades I remember last year happened before the day.
Yeah.
A lot of it was usually.
Yeah, it was funny because I was watching like MLB that day. And I was like, oh, not a lot's happening. It all happened like the day before or 2 days ago.
Yeah, usually it's, at least it used to be, the deadline day was huge.
But anyway, back to Shohei.
Yeah.
Like, how can you not trade him?
I'll tell you how. Because they're the goddamn Los Angeles Angels.
And they never do anything correct.
And they don't do the correct thing. And I bet they're delusional enough to think like, oh, we can resign this guy. Oh, he's not going anywhere. Oh, it's like, no, he's not. I don't know why.
Shohei has basically said multiple times he's not resigning there. He cares about winning.
Yeah, like, I don't know why you want to be there.
You don't.
Like, it's, here's the thing. It's also, it's one. All right, L.A. market, very nice, all the publicity and stuff. You are the second-tier L.A. market. Everyone cares about the Dodgers more. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're, even in California, you're third tier because the Giants are way more popular than you. You can make the argument they're fourth tier because the Padres are very popular right now.
Yeah.
I don't know why you want to be in an L.A.
Because some baseball players like to hide. Some baseball players don't like all the attention. They'd rather be able to come to work, put up the numbers.
Yes, there's Grinkies out there.
Yeah.
But when Shohei...
Trout's kind of like that too, actually.
I could see that. He is a quiet guy.
Mm-hmm.
Shohei
doesn't seem like that guy.
No, when you come to the MLB and being like, I want to play with the best player. I'm picking my team because I want to play with the best player. Mm-hmm. You don't strike me as a quiet guy. Mm-hmm. I really don't see that. And like, generally, a lot of these guys that do come over, especially the ones that are made a big deal when they come from Japan to America, they're not very quiet guys.
No.
Ichiro was not a quiet guy.
No.
Daisuke, although didn't speak a lot, wasn't a quiet guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, nothing about Shohei Ohtani makes me think, like, yeah, he's a quiet guy. He's looking. I mean, Derek Jeter said on, I think it was the post-game broadcast for the All-Star game, mm-hmm. it's like the Yankees should trade for him hard. Mm-hmm. Actually, he said, Juan Soto too. We'll see if he's to go for Juan Soto too.
I don't think the Pods are going to do that, but
The Yankees are going to be big for Ohtani at the deadline and
off season,
mm-hmm. which makes sense. That's the freaking Yankees.
Yeah, I don't think he'll go there though.
Who are the big teams you think they're going to be calling about him?
I think everyone's going to call about him.
Oh come on! What the Tigers shouldn't waste their time calling.
Okay, anyone who has a chance is going to call for at least a trade. Now, they're not going to be able to re-sign him, but I think Arizona will call, even though they're never going to sign him.
Here's the thing. If you're not going to re-sign him, I don't think it's worth the call.
Oh, I think it is.
You're going to sacrifice that much for a rental?
I mean, J.D. Martinez did wonders for Arizona when they brought him in.
Did they even win the wild card game?
Yeah. Then they lost to the Dodgers in the playoffs. But they won the wild card game. They stomped out the Rockies.
Okay. I don't think that's worth it. Because Ohtani's going to be...
I think Ohtani will be
way more expensive.
Probably, yes.
And it's like, all right, he's also a pitcher. Yeah, he can
push. But at the end of the day, now you're sitting here going, we don't have to make any more trades. Listen, if you want to be aggressive anyway and go for it, it makes sense to me. Because, yes, I have to give up a lot, but I don't have to make a single other trade.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not saying Arizona's going to get him, but I'm just telling you, everyone's going to call who at least sees themselves as, like... a contender.
I guess. I don't think a team like Arizona should call.
I think they should. I think the Twins would call.
You're not going to resign him. I can't. Oh, the Twins, that's a terrible idea. If Arizona did it, I'd be like, all right, I get it. You're really in win now mode.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, like, screw it. Send everyone away to win one. Mm-hmm. The Twins, gee, like, I don't know what the hell you even have.
No, I know. But it's like...
And, like, you're going to lose to the Guardians. Like, you're not winning that division.
What if the goddamn Rays did? Wouldn't that be wild?
I would love that.
That would be so funny.
That would be so good for them.
I know. It's like, wow. The one time you decide to be aggressive, like, you went for it.
He would look terrible in that uniform.
Yeah, he would look really weird in that uniform. But that would be funny.
Yeah. And, I mean, that would be great for them. For both...
Well, there's one team.
Public
who,
view.
There's one team who wouldn't call. The Braves would never make this call because they don't. They don't need to give up that much for Shohei.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
And they won one not that long ago.
But like, you could win the World Series on July 31st if you make that call.
Come on, the baseball playoffs don't really turn out.
No, I know.
But yes, I get what you mean. Like, that is terrifying. Like, wow, that would be terrifying.
Actually, that he would go bench to bench at that point because that's who they're playing on July 31st.
Oh, really?
Angels are in Atlanta.
That's funny.
Because I was looking at their schedule and being like, all right.
But that's the one contender that I would be pretty positive wouldn't even make the call.
Actually, they're playing Houston today, and I'd be like, that would be great for Houston.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be tremendous.
I don't think the Angels would do that, though.
No, within division, yeah.
I think the blowback they'd get from their own fan base would just be too much.
Oh, yeah, just because Houston? Just yeah. Controversy?
Yeah. I would have to be like, we'd have to make a segment like fucking Big Balls of the Week or something. If the Angels GM actually did that, I'd be like, God damn, dude. So that takes some stones.
Wait, he's going to the Giants. Giants really wanted to have a big offseason. Didn't happen. They are not far out, surprisingly so, and would really benefit from everything Ohtani brings to the table. And they are, they could be big spenders, and they could be, they like to stir the pot. And
you know what?
Make splashes.
You know what? That's not crazy. I think it's dumb because I don't think the Giants are there. But listen, at the end of the day, yes, they could also, they could tell themselves that we can actually make a push to sign him after we've traded for him.
Yeah, who needs Aaron Judge at that point?
Exactly.
We got a healthier guy that puts up a good chunk of that offense that Aaron Judge does and pitches.
Yes. So, no, you know what? You know what? That's fair.
He doesn't have to go too far. Historical franchise.
That's totally fair.
Would look pretty good in that uniform.
So, do you think he gets moved?
I'm kind of leaning no.
I know, because you don't think the Angels do anything correctly. I don't think you're wrong to not think he's going to get moved. I have no idea. But, man, I just, how? How could you just not do this? You've lost 9 of the last 10. You're not going anywhere, and he's gone.
I guarantee.
I'm so 50-50 on this because I am on the same train of you are, though. Like, they just never make the correct move.
And I could see the Angels right now being on that train of like, well,
we're gonna get healthy.
Well, no. They're going to be like, all right, we have a couple weeks to decide. We're going to see how this team plays.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I guess they should have that mindset. But, like, Houston, Yankees, Pittsburgh, Tigers, Toronto.
Mm.
Those are beatable teams.
Yeah.
Like, Houston is good. Like, Toronto is good. We'll see what their mindset is around that time because that's literally right before the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see them winning just over half those games. Heck, even one game over half of them being like, oh, my God, World Series back on.
Yeah. No, I could see that.
Because, like, I mean, especially since, like, the Rangers have been tripping over themselves a little recently.
They are so injured to hell and back, though.
The Angels?
Yeah.
I mean, as long as it's get Trout back, right?
Trout's not going to be back for a while.
What, another month?
Probably at least 4 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah, a month.
Yeah. Well, hasn't he already missed a week, though? They said it could
I think
be
it's a little more than that.
They said with the hamate bone, it's a weird bone, so they'd say it could be, like, 4 to 8.
Weeks.
Yes.
Okay. I think he's already missed two.
Yeah. So on the best end of the spectrum, it'd be 2 weeks. But they also said it could be 8 weeks.
Yeah, so but I've heard nothing.
What if we sit this at 6?
I feel like if he's 2 weeks away, he would have done something.
We would have heard.
Some kind of workout.
Yeah. And I haven't heard anything. So it makes me think it's probably going to be more in the 6 to 7 range.
Yeah.
So, all right. With that, we're going to move on. So a couple of teams on the bubble. I know I messed that up. We're going to do D-Hop and Cooks after this.
Okay.
Couple of teams on the bubble in that middle ground. Should they buy? Should they sell at the deadline? Now, obviously, you have a week or two still to decide. But we're going to do this now before the second half starts. So I'll get us started with the hometown team, the Boston Red Sox. Now, for all the crap that we've given them, aren't they 48 and 43 now? When I look, they're two games out of the final wild card spot right now. And, I mean, it is just lovely when you can get the Oakland Athletics right before the break so you can go sweep them. But
do we have them again soon?
No, they. This is literally what I was about to say. But even though we just talked about they should trade Paxton recently and all that, I'm actually going to go with buy now. I think the Sox should buy at the deadline. And here's why. I even if I change my tune that I think maybe they shouldn't, this is why I for sure think that they will. You got three games against, unless they like just start awful here out the break. But you got three against the Cubs, then you get Oakland after that. I think they get another sort of subpar team this month. I don't think they play anyone that tough until they have San Francisco at the end of the month, and they only have them for two games. Oh, it's the Mets. So you get the Cubs, the A's, and the Mets. They do have two against Atlanta and two against San Fran, but still, it's a very winnable set of games here. You're 48 and 43. You're only two back. And the other thing is, don't you feel like Heim Bloom's on the hot seat a little bit here? But if they make the playoffs, he can probably save his job. And now they're in striking distance to be able to make the playoffs. Now, I think unless he goes out and makes just the perfect move and the guy is absolutely, maybe he has a great trade deadline, I would still love to get rid of Bloom. I think if this team makes the playoffs, they made it in spite of Bloom, not because of Bloom. But from Bloom's perspective, he's probably on the hot seat a little bit. They haven't made the playoffs the last couple of years. And they said that they thought they'd be a decent team this year. Now you're only two games back of the wild card. Very winnable stretch coming up. I think the Sox are going to end up buying at the deadline. I feel pretty confident about that. Because like I said, I think Bloom is feeling some pressure and feeling some heat.
You could. And you could technically trade Paxton. Because they had that weird trade deadline last year. Like you sold.
And you bought.
Yeah. And I could see them doing something similar. Like, you should probably... Because I was having this like kind of similar internal debate last night. It's like, do you keep him and buy?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Like, I wouldn't be upset exactly, but it may not be the smartest thing to do. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, you really should trade Paxton.
Mm-hmm.
And you could still, yeah, maybe buy a bat, a relief arm. Because, like, Sale will be back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And actually...
You'll have Sale, Whitlock, and Houck back here at some point.
And slowly, this actually starting rotation has been progressing.
Yes.
It's been getting better. So, and I know part of that is Paxton, but like, I still think you should get that value. Because like, you signed him, what, 2 years ago? Get just some value out of him. You got some wins. Get some value from it. And you could still like, buy small, nothing too big.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, losing Paxton will not sink this team.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually been playing their best baseball recently, so
mm-hmm.
why not?
Yeah.
Like you have a starter in Bello. Sale will be back.
Mm-hmm.
Whitlock is a good pitcher. Mm-hmm. I'm not the biggest fan of him starting. Houck shouldn't be out for the year. It's just his face. you have an outfield.
Yeah.
Now with Verdugo, Yoshida and Duran.
They're going to get a shortstop. They're definitely going to have to buy a real shortstop because you can't keep going with this middle infield.
Apparently, also, Trevor Story will be back at some point.
Okay. I mean, listen, if they have access to a timeline that I don't, so maybe they don't. But if he's not back soon, come on, dude. They have to get a real shortstop.
Oh, no, I'm not saying for that. But
aren't the Sox like second in errors in the entire league?
Maybe. I'm not even saying like he's their shortstop that they need to bring it. But like actually apparently he will be back at some point this year and
okay. That's
middle infield help.
Yes.
And they need that.
Desperately.
You can't Arroyo, I like we've said like that's a great bench guy, but he's a bench guy. Kike Hernandez, great bench guy, really good in the playoffs for some reason.
Not an everyday shortstop.
No. No. Again, also great locker room guy. I mean, How do we now feel? Like, do you sell Turner? Or do you keep Turner then?
I would keep Turner.
Okay.
I wouldn't sell anyone at this point. Not even Paxton.
Nah, I still think you should sell him.
But I could see where...
Listen, Paxton needs to go.
I understand that just from a value perspective.
Yeah.
You have to buy, though. You have to find a starter and then trade Paxton, in my opinion, still.
Why not?
It doesn't have to be high. Like it can be a real like depth like fourth or fifth guy. But
trade him for maybe a young kid who's on that cusp, maybe.
Yeah, you could do that too.
And maybe see if he could be like, all right, we'll try. We'll give you a few starts this year. Maybe you could be a fifth.
Yeah. No, I get you. But so you think they're going to buy? Even if you think they should sell Paxton, you still think they're going to do some buying?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
somewhere.
Next one, I'll let you start this one. So on the bubble team, buy or sell the Seattle Mariners?
Actually, I just want to quickly get to their roster. So I'm speaking about the right people. Because, like, you know, we talked about them. Was it last week I even talked about them?
Yeah, well, yeah, because we did the letter grades.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like, the Mariners, I kind of think they should buy. I mean, you're a team in position that thinks, at least coming into the year, like, all right, we're going to contend a little bit. And, I mean, the pitching is there. I said that last week. The pitching is solid. It's been solid all year despite losing Robbie Ray. I think you're a couple power bats away. Like when I look at the team, like I said last week, one of your problems is like you can't get on base. But I mean, you got a couple guys that could. But if you can get some instant offense, and Eugenio Suarez was supposed to be that, and has not worked in that fashion really at all. So if you get a guy that can get on base, and then a guy that can give you some instant offense, why not? Astros are, you know, a much more average team this year. Angels are. It could really be over. You got free wins in Oakland. And, I mean, the Rangers are kind of tripping over themselves right now. And, you know, I think I still, as much as I've said, like, all right, they're a good team, I still think they're playing better than they really are. And why not? You're like, you know, you just had the All-Star game in your home field. You might be playing, feeling pretty good. Like, you're not far, and you got to be thinking like that. Like, this is within grasp. Wild card is well within grasp, especially with teams like the Angels and Yankees not playing well right now. And again, no timetable on Judge, and Yankees have statistically been the worst hitting team in baseball without him. So, like, the teams in front of you are jumpable.
Oh, yeah.
This is doable. And again, the pitching is seemingly always going to keep you in a game a couple bats, and you're right there.
And also the thing with the pitching is it's all young and controllable. It's not like they're paying big money to these dudes.
Sure. But I just mean, like, for now, they all seem to be quality guys that are not. Yeah. I see no reason why that should fall off.
No, I'm not going to go a lot on this one because I don't disagree with you. I think I would buy if I was Seattle, even though I think this is still a high chance they don't make the playoffs this year. I'll put one caveat in, though. If I was Seattle, I'm buying someone who is controllable.
Oh, sure.
Not rentals.
Sure.
I want to buy someone, even if I have to pay him some money. You're not paying most of the guys right now, except maybe Teoscar and Suarez a little bit. So I would trade for someone who's controllable. I wouldn't do a rental. But yeah, no, I think the Mariners should do some buying.
No, it should be. Think more to the future, too.
Yeah,
because you're supposed to be a young team that could be good for a while now, but your offense is struggling, and you know you'll have to fix that in the offseason. Why not fix it sooner rather than later?
Exactly. All right. So the next one for team on the bubble, should they buy or sell? The New York Mets. They're 7 games out of the wild card. The division was lost by about week 3 of the season. But for the Mets. So there are people who still think this team's going to, like, come back and make a run. I don't see it.
Dude, New York people are delusional.
No, I know. They're always delusional. They were delusional when they thought that this should be the team that was going to win the division. The Braves have always been the best team. If I was the Mets, I would sell. I don't care how much Cohen has put into this team. Dude, this core has stayed the same the last couple of years. And, yes, I know you had a wonderful season last year. I feel like most of us feel they overachieved. And even at the end of the day, the Braves still overtook you. Verlander and Scherzer aren't getting any younger. You still don't have the offense. Like, nothing on this team in the core is anything that's built to last long term. And you haven't won with this core or done a damn thing with it. So the Mets should start, like, shedding some of this ridiculous salary. You can get something for Scherzer. You can get something for Verlander still. Scherzer hasn't even been that bad. Verlander has been up and down. I think Verlander's getting a little bit better lately. And, you know, there are some teams who are like, playoff push, experience, veteran. Like, it's worth it still to us. I'm not necessarily saying you got to trade Polar Bear Pete, But I would start hacking large chunks off this team because Steve has spent a ton of money and they have not done a damn thing. And at what point do you just got to say, we're not going to win with this core? Because like I said, it's not a young team. These guys aren't controllable. There's no reason to think that this is going to get any better. There's no doubt in my mind the Mets should sell.
Actually, looking at Verlander's stats, he's kind of calmed way down.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
His strikeout numbers aren't there, but like 360 ERA.
But it's like, okay, cool. But you still don't score enough runs, and you're 7 games out of the wild card and no chance at your division. Like, who are they going to pass? I know the Padres have been disappointing, but I have way more confidence that the Padres could at least make a late push. Like, I don't think the Mets are passing the Padres. They're not passing San Francisco. They're not passing the Phillies.
They also have the third hardest schedule remaining.
The Mets do?
Yes.
I didn't even know that. Yeah. Oh.
Actually, I forgot to say the Mariners have the fourth easiest as well. But yeah, they have the third hardest. No, I mean, you should probably sell.
Yeah.
You should sell, like, you know, you can get a little something for, like, Ottavino, Dave Robertson. I don't know about, like, I mean, you'll get something for Verlander and Scherzer. It's just like, you just signed Verlander.
I know. Like, but it's not long. Isn't it only 2 years?
Maybe. 2 or 3.
Yeah. Like, at least both of them I don't think are on long, long-term deals. So.
Maybe Marte. Oh, Pham. Pham's another one that could be traded.
Yeah, you can.
Pham gets traded every deadline.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
The
like,
Twins could use Tommy Pham.
Starling Marte.
Yeah, Vogelbach.
Vogelbach, if anyone will take him.
I don't think you're going to get much for that one. But
I mean, just get rid of him.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we'll take that.
But yeah, there's pieces here you can sell off and try. But like, at what point, like, there's no reason to think this is going to get better. This ain't the Mariners where your core is a bunch of 25, 26-year-old controllable dudes. Like, this team is old. Hmm. You haven't won anything with them. It's no reason to think it's going to get better. Why don't you just start trying to free up some of the ridiculous salary that you have had to spend the last couple of years? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. So, Jesse, I'll let you start the next one. Our final one, team on the bubble, buy or sell. Do you think the Padres should buy or sell?
This one, I kind of think this one might actually be the hardest one.
I think so, too.
Because, I mean, we even said last week, like, all right, I mean, I guess, like, yeah, this team could be, why not, based on paper and stuff like that. They're middle of the road for hard schedule. They're 14th hardest, so 16th easiest, so to speak. But, like...
6 out of the wild card right now, though.
Like, you need... Like, obviously you need a couple bats to fill in at the end, but, like, where are you going to really purchase these... It doesn't need to be game changers, but like quality bats. And like you're going to be probably battling the Mariners with them. A couple other teams. The Red Sox could probably use a bat that you might have to compete with. I'm sure the Yankees will be looking for bats that they're going to have to compete with. So like I don't really know. Like I don't understand exactly what you're going to get here. I expect them to be buyers and all that stuff. And they could make a push to this wild card in the end. But, like, I'm not 100% sure what they really can get that'll really push them there.
Yeah.
Like, I actually don't... Now that I really kind of looked up, like, oh, what's the remaining schedule like and all, I am kind of taken back. They're like, oh, maybe you kind of can't. They'll buy, but, like, I don't really see it actually getting any better if they do. Like, I think they almost should be sellers, but what do you sell? You can't sell a Bogarts. You could probably sell Soto. And have that little spree again, whatever, that excitement. But, like, Machado, you just gave him a new deal. You just gave Darvish a deal. You just gave Musgrove a deal. Like, who do you move? Blake Snell? Try to capitalize on that last month he had?
Maybe. I think, so here's my opinion on this. So, for the Padres, buy or sell, I would go... Because you have to pick one, I'd go sell. Now, I don't mean that by a real sell. Like, I would sell maybe one or two of these guys.
Hater?
Just because... Hater would make sense. Just because, like, the Padres clearly need... They're too top-heavy. They need to find a way, whether it's kids, whether it's MLB guys who aren't, you know, high-paid, high all-star, whatever. But they need to find a way to just make this roster more balanced. And it's not going to help them this year. To me, they've dug themselves way too big a hole. They're not passing the Phillies. They're not passing San Francisco, in my opinion. So I don't think they can. There's no reason to double down to me on the team this year. But there's no reason to just go all out and just, you know, commit baseball bulimia and just throw it all away. But to me, if you get interest in like a Darvish, I'd sell him. Now, he hasn't had a great year, but someone, like, teams are so desperate for pitching. They're just going to be like, he's been that bad the first half. He should be able to bounce back and be productive for us for the time that we need him. If someone makes calls and gives you a nice offer on Snell, I would. Soto, I actually would. Now, Machado, Tatis, and Bogarts, I would not sell. If I'm going to sell any of the big bats, it's Soto, because you'll get a lot for him. But the problem with that is, isn't he owed a ton of money? So it's like only some teams are going to be able to do that.
Yes.
And you got Shohei, who's a free agent next year. So a lot of the big market teams are like, we're going to wait for Shohei. So I don't think they can sell Soto. I think if they sell someone, it's going to be Hader, it's going to be Blake Snell, or it's going to be Darvish. And I wouldn't sell, even if teams, like all teams are going to call on all three, I wouldn't trade all three. I would trade one of them to get maybe some guys who are major league help or some guys who are close to maybe make this team a little more balanced and free up money for you. So next offseason, you can sign some mid-level guys and, again, make this roster more balanced. So I think the Padres should do some light selling.
Okay. I don't think they will, though.
I think
they will be try to be.
No, I mean, I hate their GM. I don't think Preller is smart. Preller or is it Anthopoulos? I forgot.
Do you think that, you know, their owner's probably pushing for some of this stuff? The time is now. The Dodgers are on the down, are going down. I mean,
maybe, but also you got to remember, isn't AJ Preller the one who did the whole thing with Toronto too? Like, this is kind of just what he does.
Well, yeah, maybe he could have been hired because of that. This is what
you I'm sorry. I don't think he was the one who did the Toronto one, but he was the one who did the first spending spree for the Padres. So, like, this is in his DNA.
With Matt Kemp.
Yeah. So, like, this is in his DNA.
Mm.
Which is, again, why I don't think he's a good GM. But be that as it may, whatever. All right. With that, let's get ready.
Well, I mean, he's not a good GM in the fact that he doesn't really create a championship team, but he has gotten San Diego to care.
He has.
So it kind of...
But it hasn't really led to much actual success.
Yes.
Just a whole ton of spending.
But the owner is like, I'm making money.
I guess. Is he?
Man, he's got to be.
They're spending a lot of money for a smaller market team.
Yeah, I guess. But he's got to make a money.
All right. With that, anyway, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to go over some storylines that we're keeping a close eye on in the second half and finish it up with our Tommy and Darwin, as always. Stick with us, guys. And we are back here at Slow Your Roll, getting ready to finish things up with our Tommy and Darwin, as always. But before we do that, as we are, like I said, just hours away from baseball starting back up, we're going to go quickly through some storylines that we are keeping an eye on for the second half. So, Jesse, I'll start with you, actually.
Oh, okay.
So, what are the storylines? Your storylines going into the second half that you have a close eye on?
My first one is I really want to keep an eye on the big red machine.
Mm-hmm.
Reds are the talk of the town right now. One of the hotter teams in baseball going into the All-Star break. I was about to say the trade deadline. It's not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, like, how much can they keep this up? I think, like, all right, they'll probably be in the race for the division no matter what happens, even if they fall off. But, like, is this team a real playoff team? Sure, like, even if they won't win the division, they'll probably make the playoffs in the wild card. But, like, can they really keep up this hot streak? Is this really what they are? Mm-hmm. Now, I've said, like, all right, you need to add some pitching here for you want to have any real chance to contend at anything. And, you know, they got the opportunity to do that. But, like, can Ellie De La Cruz really keep this up? Mm-hmm. Maybe not. Can Jonathan India really keep this year he's got going? Can Joey Votto come in and hit the big home runs continuously? I don't know. And, you know, history tells me no, but there's just something about this big red machine that just, I don't know, it's just so fun to watch. And I kind of really believe in them. And I'm fun to see how far they take it this year. It's not their time yet. But, like, how far can this young upstart team take this? Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see that.
All right. I'll go to my next one, my first one. So, one of the storylines I am watching here for the second half is Ronald Acuña home run and stolen base watch. Now, I mean, as you said, he's on pace to go 40-80. I've always thought of things as just, you know, we always had a 30-30 club, a 40-40 club. So I was just going to call it the 40-40 club. Because he'll have 40 steals, he'll just blow way past that. But if you want to call it 40-40 club, 40-80 club, whatever you want to call it, can he actually reach that point? We know he's going to reach that point in steals. Can he do it with home runs? He's at 21 right now in a torrid start. But he's basically got to do almost exactly what he did in the first half and the second half. So can Acuña do it? Can Acuña be the first guy to go 40-80 and the first guy to even reach 40-40 since Alfonso Soriano did it for the Nationals? I'm fascinated to watch that.
All right.
Do you think he's going to do it? I kind of don't.
The home runs are...
I think,
and if he misses any time, and like, he's little injury prone, like, so...
I think he's going to come just shy. I think he's still going to win the MVP, but I think he's going to hit like 36.
Damn. I mean, actually, if he hits 36, that's not... If it's like 38, 39, that's like really sad. But if
I know.
It's like 36, 37, it's like, you fell off a little bit. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. You're still a 30 whatever, dude.
Yeah.
However many steals he ends up with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to actually look up right now real quick, like, how many, like, steals did all these guys have when they did it? Like, were they like 40, 50 men or something?
No, Soriano was 40, 40. And, okay. Dude, I don't... The only other... Isn't Alfonso one of the only... It's like one or two other people to ever do 40-40.
1988, Jose Canseco for the Athletics. 42 home runs, 40 steals. 1996, Barry Bonds for the Giants. 42 home runs, 40 steals. This is the best one. Alex Rodriguez in 1998 for the Mariners. 42 home runs, 46 steals.
Mm-hmm.
And then Soriano in 2006 with the most home runs at 46, mm-hmm. but 41 steals.
Okay.
46, all right. Yeah. Right, Alfonso.
I know, right? Underrated player.
I used to love him, actually.
No, I did too.
Was one of my favorite Yankees.
I always thought his swing was so funny. Because didn't he? He always looked like he was swinging a bat that was too heavy for him.
I've never heard it described like that, but yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, he had just such a weird stance. He was like kind of bending almost over the plate and wiggling the bat way behind his head.
Yeah. It was weird.
I miss him.
All right. So, next storyline for you.
All right. Mine is just the AL East race.
Mm.
It's really coming down to two teams, the Rays and the Orioles. Mm-hmm. Two teams that really never have the chance anymore. I mean, the Rays have kind of been there time and time again, but like we don't really ever consider them a true World Series contender.
Mm-hmm.
But, Rays, Orioles race, the two teams that are, it's not Sox, Yankees. As a Red Sox fan, that sucks, but also a little refreshing at the same time because I'm a fan of baseball and I like to see other teams in it. And I mean, it's slowly getting smaller and smaller as the time goes on. Like you said, like, all right, the Orioles are coming for it. I still kind of think it's the Rays to lose, especially with how just explosive their offense can be. And we know the Rays can find anyone off the street and get them to pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's a real uphill battle for the Orioles. But the fact that it's getting closer and closer and the Orioles are getting healthier and healthier,
mm-hmm.
like this could be a real dog September mm-hmm. for the AL East. So
yeah, I like that. Piggybacking kind of off yours, one of my big storylines that I am watching, probably my favorite storyline. How aggressive are the smaller market teams here, namely the Rays, the Orioles, and the Diamondbacks, all going to be here at this trade deadline? Now, Arizona has a little bit more of a history of being more aggressive and going for it, especially at the trade deadline, than both the Rays and the Orioles. They brought in JD a few years ago. So Arizona has more of a history of making a big move, but still interesting to see just how aggressive they want to be with this young team that they may feel is a little ahead of schedule. The Rays and the Orioles are really the most fascinating one to me, though, because the Rays have been good for a while, right? They're usually in that range. We don't really, as you said, we see those, they're doing their thing again in the regular season. But we never really think they have the talent playoff time to be able to get over the teams that we know have the best of the best talent, even if they have a better record than them, the Rays. But this year, The AL seems more wide open from the perspective of the Rays and Orioles than in other years. The Astros aren't the same big bad bully that they've been the last 5 or 6 years. Usually the Yankees or the Sox are one of the elite teams in the AL. They've kind of flip-flopped what year it is. Like last year was the Yankees. A couple of years before was the Sox, who were the big bad, you know, big spender market team. But this year, both the Yankees and the Red Sox are not that big bad bully. The Central is what it always is, it seems like, for the last decade and a half, underwhelming. So, yeah, it's never been this wide open. Like, if I'm Baltimore or the Rays, I'm sitting here thinking that I might be one of the two best teams in the American League. So is that opportunity, an opportunity that we really haven't seen for the Orioles especially, but even for the Rays, is that opportunity going to make them to go out of character and be a bit more aggressive than they have been in the past? So that is my thing to watch. And I really hope they do, particularly Baltimore. I really hope Baltimore goes for it. Baltimore, they got some crap from their fans last year when they started to make that push and they didn't go for it. So I wonder if this year they'll be like, hey, we made you wait. We're still really good this year, though, just like we thought we'd be. Now it's time. Go appease the fan base. It's our time now. Last year was the coming of age. Now it's time. Make a big move. Let's try and win a World Series.
Yeah, last year they were coming on strong and were still sellers.
I know. That's what I mean.
Mancini's out. There's another one I think they traded, too.
I forget. I just couldn't.
But yeah, I mean, I was surprised. Because going into the offseason, I thought the Orioles were going to make a bigger splash.
That was the other thing. People thought they could have a bigger offseason.
Because
I think they kind of tried. I think at the end of the day, they couldn't finish it off.
Yeah, and there's no reason to panic about it.
No.
Because you have such a young team with a lot of, I mean, there's still a lot of players that haven't even made that jump yet.
Yes.
That they're looking at and expect to. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's no rush on them, to be honest. They could even be like, not quite yet, Baltimore fans. Next year.
I think that'd be a mistake, though.
It could be, because, like,
I understood and defended why they did it last year, but this year, I think they should look to be more aggressive. You got young kid Bradish and Wells both pitching very well at the top of the rotation. We know the offense can score runs. Just get some depth to help the starting rotation.
All right, but you can't. I don't think you should make a real big splash here.
No, I don't think they need to go huge, but you go decent enough. Whether they're not all huge names, but you make multiple moves. Enough that people are like, okay, Baltimore had an aggressive deadline.
Okay.
They just, you know, they didn't bring in Shohei Ohtani or Lucas Giolito. But, like, at the end of the day, you look at it like, okay, they brought in another bat to, like, help with the middle of the order. They brought in two starters and a reliever. Like, Baltimore went for it at the deadline. Even if they're not big names, like, if you make three or four moves, that's going for it.
All right.
Yeah. All right, so what's your next storyline? Or you only have two also?
I mean, I could give you a third, but I thought you just wanted to do two.
I mean, I only had two, but you can give your third before we do the Tommy and Darwin if you want.
Oh, I mean, my third is just the NL West.
Yeah.
Same thing by the NL West, because, you know, now Dodgers are tied with the Diamondbacks now. Mm-hmm. And even the Giants aren't far. And yeah, like
two,
I said, they're getting...
2.5.
Yeah, they're getting Ohtani, so...
They're not getting Ohtani.
They're going to make that push...
You said the Angels don't do the correct thing. They're not going to trade him.
Yeah, but I said if someone's going to do it, it's going to be the Giants.
Yeah, that would make sense. All right. So with that, we're going to finish things up. Tommy and Darwin. So Jesse, take us away on the Tommy.
Yeah. Do you know what it is?
Oh, I know what it. At least I know what it should be.
What do you think it should be?
Kardashian.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to videotape it?
No. It's not worth it.
You don't want to be Prez?
I wanted to avoid this topic. I was like, it's not worth talking about. Find anything else about Tom Brady that he's doing. He did nothing. That's why I was like, oh, he had a 4th of July party last week that he went to, and everyone wore white. It's like, that's me trying to like just not talk about these stupid rumors. And apparently, Tom Brady literally came out. We had it on the Tommy report about how he's like, I don't want to date models anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like, you are dating like the model. Allegedly.
As
a rumor.
Allegedly.
But at the same time, while I was researching this and looking for anything else, he's apparently hanging out with a different model.
Okay.
They were seen, I think it was at Wimbledon they were seen together. Emily,
that was the one that people thought he was dating, like, I felt like a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Emily, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know
how to say her last name. It starts with an R.
You know what? Maybe Tom is being true to his word.
He said he doesn't want to date models.
Yeah, he's not dating them.
just using them.
Yeah, pretty much. Some of them might think that they're dating, but I mean, come on. We've all seen those scenarios happen before.
I don't know
how. The girl thinks they're actually a thing, and the guy's like, no, we're not a thing.
Sure. I don't know how also you could just get involved with Kim Kardashian at this point. It's been a disaster for everyone.
Well, he's not playing sports anymore, though.
Okay. Neither did Kanye. Look where he is at.
True.
He's like walking around LA with no shoes. Fair. He doesn't have a bank account anymore.
Well, listen, I hope that Tom is not dating Kim Kardashian.
He's apparently anti-Semitic now. Like, Tom's gonna, he's got anti-Semitism in his future, that means.
Tom, some crazy thing. Tom, please don't date Kim Kardashian. You're too good for that.
Yeah.
You are an American icon.
And, like, I could see
him. A beacon of light.
I could see him being like, oh, it won't happen to me.
In a spoiled, annoying, dramatic world, especially when it comes to superstars and athletes. Don't do it.
Yeah, everyone thinks they won't get to me. I won't let them treat me the way they've treated other people. Or I'll do it. I'll turn around on them. That never works, buddy. Never worked.
Don't take Kim Kardashian, please. All right, with that, time to finish things up. Do you want me to announce the Darwin?
Yeah, you know more about it than me.
Okay. So, anyway. Darwin Award. Drum roll, please. This week's Darwin Award winner is Isaiah Rogers, cornerback for the Indianapolis Colts. Why? Because not only was he caught betting on NFL games, which already is bad enough. By the way, you get suspended for betting even non-NFL, especially if you're in the building. He bet his own team in a game while in the building in Indianapolis. He bet on the Colts' rushing yards. Now, at least he doesn't have actual control over the rushing part. He's a cornerback. However, he was at least probably part of the game plan going into the week, and he bet on his own team in the building. How stupid can you be?
Do we know what week it was?
I forget what week it was.
He bet on?
Yeah, I forget what week it was. We can go check. Nobody cares.
Did he win the bet?
You bet on your own. He probably did. Maybe that's why they got caught.
Well, if it's the week I'm thinking of, it was that week where Jonathan Taylor was injured. So Nyheim Hines was going to come in and just rack up a whole bunch of yards, and I brought him in on fantasy. Got injured on the second run.
Ooh.
So if it was that week, sorry, buddy.
But anyway, how dumb can you be? One, betting in the building is already just so stupid. Second, you bet on your own team? What are you doing? Like, I just, wow.
So why is he worse than the rest of them, though?
Because he bet on his own team.
Did not the rest of them do that? What did the other
ones
bet on?
No, they never bet on their own teams, at least. Half of them have been suspended for betting college football or basketball or like not even NFL. They don't even usually bet on NFL that much. Calvin Ridley did, too. But the other guys have been suspended for betting other stuff.
I mean, it had to have been like when they bet then. Because you're allowed to bet on other sports. It can't be during the NFL season, though.
Yes, and you could never do it in the building.
So you could, I mean, technically, I don't think they can bet on NBA and NHL just because it's the same time frame.
Okay.
But they could bet on baseball.
Yes, I think they can. But again, you can never make bets in the building. In the building, in the NFL building. Your team's building, you're never allowed to.
So if I'm an NFL player,
mm-hmm.
and it's the summertime, not even training camp,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, I'm going to bet on baseball. But if I ran to the facility and did the bet there...
Yeah.
I'd be in trouble.
Yes, you would. Under no circumstances are you allowed to bet in the team facilities at all. We're getting off track.
That'd be hilarious.
He bet on his own team. I don't even think Calvin Ridley bet on his own team, at least.
Yes, he did. He bet on the Falcons. I mean, it was when he was like, took his leave.
Oh.
He was like, but he still bet on the Falcons.
Yeah, but he wasn't even playing. He took a leave, at least by then.
Still.
Listen, it's still stupid, but like Isaiah. And the other thing is Isaiah Rogers. You're nobody, dude. You can't survive this. Calvin Ridley at least can survive it because he's talented enough. 90% of the players in the NFL are so replaceable. Isaiah, I know you played plenty of snaps, but you're replaceable. This is so stupid. This is, to me,
but
when we go back in a year, not in a year, but like at the end of this year, this one's definitely top 10. It might be top 5. To bet on your own team, also while in the facility, you're an idiot.
I mean, it's rampant across the NFL, so he might survive.
Listen,
just because there's a lot of other...
But he still took it to another... He already got cut.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
But, like, this is... I guarantee there's a lot more that have just not been outed yet. or haven't been found yet.
Probably. But like, come on, dude, betting on your own team, that is such a no-go.
Well, that's my point. I bet this guy is like, everyone's doing it. Why can't I? I guarantee at least half the league is gambling illegally.
I wouldn't be shocked by
NFL standards.
I wouldn't be shocked, but dude,
there was that coach on the Jets.
Come on, during the NFL season, in the building, on your own team. Come on, dude. Yeah. That's a new level of stupid. Maybe. I mean, it's not quite. You know what? I don't know. You know what? It might be as bad as Jones bringing the gun on the plane. It's up there. They're close. not as bad as like the penalty.
How do I compare them?
But like they're both just as dumb. One's just, you know, a worse. You'll get worse repercussions for your stupidity for one of them. Mm. But they're both pretty stupid. But you know what? Yeah, the gun's dumber. Like I can at least say like, if I'm Isaiah, like I can get away with this. Why Jack Jones thought he was going to get away with that, I don't know. But especially two of them.
Yeah. I wonder where he was going.
I don't know. But anyway, don't let Jack Jones distract us from Isaiah Rogers is this week's Darwin Award winner. All right. That has been it for Slow Your Roll this week. Guys, I am looking forward to baseball starting back up again. Keep an eye on these races, deadline, all that kind of stuff. Have a great rest of your week.